Cheers. So welcome back. I'm here with my friend Brendan, my good friend Brendan Brain. Brendan's been living in the Philippines for 3 years.
Three years
now. Just returned to Australia at the worst possible time. And why is that?
Worst for you, perhaps.
Well, perhaps
best for me.
Best for him, worst for me because I'm going to the Philippines.
So yeah.
We're tag teaming, not in that sort of way. I mean, so before Brendan leaves, I thought this was a great time to get together and get some advice on what it's like living in a country that's not your own as an expat. And so why did you move to the Philippines to begin with?
Long answer. Coming to a bit of money, started to look around. Bit over corporate life.
Yep.
Working for the man. Wanted to get out, have a bit of fun, bit of travelling. While I was working, I met a nice lady from overseas, and we
lovely lady.
Yeah,
the just, one. Just yes, just your wife,
my,
of course.
My life partner.
Her, yes.
And we decided to have a child together. And once we fell pregnant, I decided to leave my job, my full time job, and move over to the Philippines in Manila. For me, it was a bit of an opportunity to travel around Asia as well, home base in Manila, visit a few other countries, and rest is history, as they say.
Great. So on that note, what are the biggest benefits of living in the Philippines? What are the advantages as an expat?
Well, for me, I guess there's a number of advantages. Proximity to a lot of other countries. Manila is only a couple of hours flight away from Hong Kong, China, Indonesia, Vietnam. So it was a good home base. Foremost was the price. My rent was a quarter of what I would pay in Australia.
Okay. Can you tell us what that is? Roughly?
It fluctuated with the exchange rate. Let's say about $420 a month, okay. Australian dollars. Okay.
So that's less than what I'm paying per week in Sydney, for example.
Yeah. Beers in Australia would be, let's say, well, we just paid $5 for a beer. In the Philippines, it would be $1.50 for a beer. And so just the cost of living, the standard of living was a little bit less than Australia, but still worth it. Okay. You save a lot of money by living overseas in Asia anyway.
What about the negatives? So what are the negatives about living in the Philippines once you've grown up in Australia?
I wrote a blog piece on exactly the same thing, on 10 things I hate about Manila. And it was there for a couple of years, and a few things
didn't have Heath Ledger in it, by any chance.
We're getting to it. No.
Okay.
Smog was the number one thing.
Yeah, yep.
Traffic.
Yeah.
The traffic is pretty much bumper to bumper most of the day.
Which the taxi drivers seem to complain about. They don't understand that time in traffic equals more money on the meter, but anyway.
Yeah, and so it's hard to plan your day. Like, sometimes you'd have to plan or give yourself 1 hour. Sometimes you have to give 3 hours just for what normally would be a 20-minute trip. You know. Fish out of water, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm an Australian, and I moved to an area with just full of Filipinos. Like, there weren't many expats in the area. That wasn't so much a negative. I did feel a lot of love, or a lot of I was made to feel quite welcome by a lot of the locals.
Did you ever feel in danger in the Philippines at all? Did you ever feel like you were, I don't know, it was a somewhat unsafe place to live as an expat?
The quick answer is no.
Okay.
I came back to Australia every year or 18 months, six months, and I felt more dangerous walking down the street in the city of Sydney than I did in Manila. You know, all hours of the night sometimes in Manila. Come home, never had any sort of violence towards me, and I never felt unsafe. No.
And you used to take the shortcut home as well by jumping fences and walking through vacant land, much to the disgust of the local security guards, but they seem to be understanding of that, because, you know.
Yes, I did that on a number of occasions, because, you know, you get a few drinks in you and you don't want to take the shortest route home.
Yeah.
There was one time, and this is the only time in the whole 3.5 years that I was there, a group of kids surrounded me, and when I say kids, they were like from 12 to 21. and they were asking me for money. Like, they started off, I guess it was begging.
Yeah.
But then it turned into a bit more serious than that, and they did grab my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And they pulled it out of my pocket. Like, it wasn't confrontational.
Mm-hmm.
It was more just opportunistic, I think. Yeah. And they grabbed my iPhone, they ran, and I actually chased them, and and I nearly got to this one, one of the older child, older kids. He was probably about 18, 19.
Mm-hmm.
And he flicked my phone out across Edsa, one of the main highways in Manila.
Yeah.
And they went skidding across the road, and five lanes of traffic sort of stopped, and they waited for the Westerner to run across the road. And I got my iPhone back. Mm.
So he gave it back to you, or you don't?
he flicked it away, so I didn't
take it. He discarded the evidence.
Yeah. And they were a group of gypsies, I think, for want of a better term. I've never seen them in the area before. I've lived in the area for 3.5 years, and I think they were like travelling from town to town, and it was just one of those things. And it wasn't aggressive, it wasn't violent, but that was the only negative thing.
So, I mean, for, you know, the readers that you know, follow Road Less Traveled, you'll know I've also spent a lot of time in the Philippines. I've spent a lot of time particularly working in the customer service call center industry, trying to, you know, train Filipinos or educate them on communication skills with Australians, which, in my experience, and this is no disregard to Filipinos at all, it's a challenging experience to try and match at sometimes, you know, the way that Australians talk to the way that Filipinos talk.
Sure.
So, I mean, do you have any funny stories about, you know, having to deal with Filipino culture?
I found that the older Filipinos were less versed in English. So the younger ones, because they got taught in school, I don't know when they started teaching the English in school, but they were right on the money. They knew how to converse with you. What I did find funny was when I initially went to the Philippines was people tended to push in a lot. I'd go to like a little sari-sari store, which is like a convenience store, I guess. And you get to the front of the line, and then some other gentleman would come across and with his little 20 pesos and jump in front of you.
Yeah.
And I used to just let it be. Yeah. And not worry about it too much. Mm-hmm. Until I sort of got to live there for a while and understood more about the culture, because I didn't want to offend anybody.
Yeah.
And then after a while I thought, no, this guy's just being rude.
Yeah.
And so now when I'm in line and somebody jumps in front of me, it still happens quite often. I tend to stand up for myself a bit more. And
So when, I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I've been to the Philippines and I haven't lived there yet, as mainly, I guess, as a visitor, as a tourist, and I guess what is the point, or is there a point in expat life where you go, no, I'm, you know, not going to accept this anymore, and I'm now a resident of this country and should be treated as so? Or is that just a natural kind of progression, or how does that look like as an expat?
What I did find funny was somebody had something for sale. And let's say you, as a local Filipino person, you wanted to buy, say, this microphone for $20. And you'd say, can I have this for $20? They say, yes. Me, as a Westerner, can I have this for $20? And the local shop person would say, no. Well, they wouldn't say it, but in the head they'll say, no, you can't have this for $20. You're a Westerner. I'm charging you $40. And I'd say, can I have it for $30? And they'd say, no. I would sell something to a local cheaper than what they would sell it to you. Even though they're probably making more money, but they would deny me just because I was a foreigner. Which was very, still hard to get my head around.
Yeah, I think it's funny. I think, I don't know if that happens to an extent in Australia. You know, we have such fixed prices, but when you travel throughout Asia, you travel throughout India, and even parts of Europe, South America, it's, I don't know, people, it's almost accepted to have two prices. I went to an Indian temple once, for example, where a guy asked me to make a donation, And it wasn't a it was meant to be a donation, but and I he showed me a list of the people who'd written how much they would donate as well, and I said I looked, to be honest, for the lowest number because I wasn't cheap. I didn't have a lot of money at the time, and I offered that, and this guy literally had the exchange rate in his head of the Australian dollar versus the Indian rupee, and he guilted me saying, oh, but in your country, you know, this is only a dollar. In your country, this is only this much. And it almost works because you think, okay, well, that makes sense.
You relate everything back to your original currency.
Yes, yeah.
And you think, oh, that's only $2.50.
So how long did it take you in the Philippines before you stopped translating Filipino peso into Australian dollars?
It's hard to say exactly how long, but let's say roughly 6 months.
Okay, yeah.
Where everything I would translate back to the Australian dollar and think, well, that's good value for money or not. But then I started to divide everything by a quarter. You know, the local Filipino person was getting paid a quarter less and the rent was a quarter less. So everything should be sort of retrospectively a quarter less.
And I guess, you know, there's a point when you're a resident of a country, you shouldn't be expected to pay a tax when you live there for 3 years. I mean, not a genuine tax, but a foreigner tax.
I call it a foreigner tax or a white guy tax.
Yes, or as they call it, a long nose tax in the Philippines. Yeah. Sometimes as well. And I say that with all due respect as a Filipino wife, but you know.
And on the flip side of that, quite often I overpaid and I didn't mind overpaying.
Yeah.
Haggle, but not to the point of that person was going to lose money.
Yeah.
You haggle a little bit just because it was customary.
Yeah.
But sometimes you still overpay and you knew you were overpaying, but you didn't mind. There's lots of people that do beg.
Yeah, yeah.
And they ask for money.
Yeah.
And those people necessarily didn't need the money as much as the ones that didn't beg.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often the people that didn't ask you for the money were the ones that you felt more comfortable giving it to.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Like, they weren't in your face and you would know that they would be getting the money. We gave a guy a peanut butter sandwich once.
Mm.
A peanut butter sandwich didn't mean a lot to us.
Yeah.
And his eyes lit up. And he thought it was Christmas, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'd much rather help out the people that seem to be in more genuine need than the people that come and ask it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that's the similar in a lot of other countries in the world. I do think if you'd given him a Vegemite sandwich, it may have been a bit different. But anyway.
That slappy thing.
Salty. Anyway, can you tell us a bit, how did you keep yourself occupied while living in the Philippines?
Well, I was having a career break at the time.
Yeah.
So taking a couple of years off corporate life.
Yep.
And I knew I'd go, excuse the language, batshit crazy.
Yep.
If I didn't keep myself occupied.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So I started a blog.
Mm-hmm.
With no big aspirations, more other than to document my time in Manila, more like a live journal perhaps, or a diary.
Yep.
And just document my time as we went. Mm-hmm. And it expanded from there. I started to document aspects of my life and write about aspects of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And one aspect was my dance party history. Mm-hmm. Back in the 90s, there was a big dance party rave sort of scene in Sydney. Mm-hmm. I started documenting that and just compiling and noting a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of viral might not be the right word, but mm-hmm. it really took off, and I was getting 150,000 hits in 6 months.
Great. Yeah. And you can check out the links to Brendan's blogs in the notes of this video and below. But I mean, I guess travel is, I mean, everyone who follows me and you know, Brendan and I are very similar in terms of understanding the importance of travel and writing about your experience. With Sydney Rave History, I mean, how did you find authoring a blog like Sydney Rave History but being in the Philippines? Was it difficult or didn't make a difference?
I felt it was an advantage in that I was sort of somewhat removed from the whole situation.
Yeah.
And it was like my office. I was on the computer.
Yeah.
I was liaising with other people via Messenger and Facebook back in here in Sydney, and I've made some fantastic friends I otherwise wouldn't have made.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a disadvantage in this day and age.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
due to the technology that we have.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, when you look at a lot of the big news publications now, even in Australia, you know, News Corp, Fairfax, etc., it's like, it's. I think it's moving more away from journalism. You study journalism, you be a journalist, and that's what you write to contributors. And I think you know, with technology now, you can do that anywhere in the world.
Sure. Yeah.
Do you have any regrets for moving to the Philippines?
No. No? Is a short answer.
Yeah.
I loved every minute of it.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. Meeting new people. The Filipino people are such a friendly people or a group of people. The society was great.
Yeah.
The only downside, this is minimal, was I guess I've been out of my corporate life for 3 years or out of work for 3 years.
Yeah.
And that might hamper me when I try to get back in, because in 3 years you learn a lot.
Yeah.
And being out of that sort of loop, it's more about being static and you don't, you're not learning or progressing in corporate life.
Yeah.
But then again, on the flip side, I've learned so many things about Photoshop, search engine optimization, blogging. If you ask me, would I do it again? I would in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
In the last 3 years, I've been the Great Wall of China. I've been to Xi'an and seen the Terracotta Warriors.
Yeah.
I've been to Hong Kong, Macau. I've seen all the ancient Macau. I've been to Cambodia, Thailand.
Yeah.
Like you can't. You can't put a price on those sort of experiences.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree. I think it completely shifts and it changes your mindset. You never see your own life the same way after that. So I guess finally to wrap up, for anyone who is looking to be an expat or relocate to any Asian country, what advice do you have?
Lots of little bits of advice,
yeah.
I guess. Make sure you have your vaccinations. Learn about how to save money banking-wise.
Yeah.
Because getting your money from your country into the local currency can be a challenge. Yeah. Know where you are. So be aware of where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like things like, and even a simple thing like carrying your wallet in your front pocket or.
Mm-hmm.
Not having your headphones on in some areas, just so you're aware of your surroundings.
Yeah.
So yeah, do a bit of research, find out where you're going to, what the dangers are, and try to work around it. Yeah.
So if someone's sort of thinking about it, but a bit worried about taking the risk, is it worth it?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's hard to say no because I did it, mm-hmm. and I've sort of never looked back. You only live once. Yeah. I know it's a
no,
a common thing amongst kids these days to say yellow.
Yeah.
But it really is true.
Yeah.
You can work in corporate life your whole life and you look back on your deathbed and think, I wish I'd have done that, I wish I'd have done this.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying I'm better than anybody, but at the moment I really am proud of my decision because it was a hard decision to make.
Yeah.
It took nearly 3 years to actually, from when I initiated the first thought of quitting my job,
mm-hmm.
took nearly 3 years to actually come to that decision and say, yep, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And to make that leap.
Yeah.
And I've got no regrets at all. I'm glad I did. And you'll be surprised where life can take you. You don't have to have everything planned out before you do it. You just got to make that initial step or that initial decision, and then your life will just work around it and things have a way of just working out.
Great. I agree, and as someone about to make the same decision, I hope you're right. Thanks so much, Brendan, for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
No worries.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, and we'll see you soon.
Sounds good. Take care.